The legacy of an American technology pioneer.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Around the world, people are paying tribute to the man who led Apple Computers to be one of the most successful companies in the world. Steve Jobs died yesterday at the age of 56, and news of his death has people reflecting on the contributions he made. Cecilia Kong is technology reporter for The Washington Post, and she's with us now from right outside the Apple store in Bethesda, Maryland. Cecilia, good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you see outside of that store?
Well, some people have laid flowers, which is really pretty remarkable for regular folks to come out to a store to really try to mark or pay homage to the death of a CEO of a Silicon Valley company very far away. And it really shows how much Steve Jobs has affected just regular consumers, not just the tech industry, not just the investors that have made money from the Apple stock, but millions and millions of regular folks who feel a real affinity and personal connection to him and the technology he's created.
I know we could talk about the legacy, and you really just did. 100 years from now, Cecilia, what are we going to be talking about with Steve Jobs?
I think we'll talk about his leadership, how he has had lots of ups and downs, but in several cases, he has saved companies from really being really down and out to really revive Apple, Pixar, creating new companies like Next into huge successes. But I think more so than anything, I think we're going to remember him for his very unique combination of technology smarts, business smarts, knowing what a consumer likes, and design, which is really this very unique combination of skills and characteristics that you don't find in a corporate leader, and especially from Silicon Valley, where the focus is so much just on technology. Steve Jobs had a real focus on what consumers really want, and sometimes it's just the simplest things that don't take a lot of extra gizmos and lots of complicated technology. It's just making things simple and easy to use, and I think we're going to remember him for that and really transforming the way that we listen to music, the way that we compute mobily, the fact that we have even computers in the home.
Cecilia Kong, thank you so much from The Washington Post. Cecilia, take care.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Well, global shares are much higher at the moment. In Europe, anywhere from 2 and 3% or even higher. More people filed for weekly unemployment benefits last week here in the United States. The number was up by 6,000. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 131 points to close at 10,939.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is going to spend much of today before Congress. He's scheduled to present to both chambers the first report of a council looking at the level of risk in our financial system. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Congress created the Financial Stability Oversight Council to help prevent another crippling financial crisis. Its first report to Congress comes as a debt crisis looms in Europe. James Barth is a fellow at the Milken Institute. He says the council is surely watching Europe closely.
But I don't think the Financial Stability Council can do much other than be absolutely certain our banks are not overexposed to other European banks.
Barth says they don't appear to be, and if a big U.S. bank or insurer were to get into trouble, he says regulators now have tools to contain the problem. John Lichty directs the Center for the Study of Global Financial Stability at Penn State. He says it's too soon to say how effective the council will be.
It's only been a year, and it takes, a long time to put the kind of safeguards we'd like to see in place.
Like so-called living wills. Big banks will soon need plans in place to wind down their business if they get into serious trouble. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Well, from Washington to Alaska, where every resident will be getting a check for $1,174 for simply living in the state. It's called the Permanent Fund Dividend, or PFD. The yearly payout was established back in the 1980s as a way for Alaskans to share in the state's oil wealth. And every year around this time, the PFD injects a lot of cash into the Alaska economy. From Alaska Public Radio Network, Annie Feit reports.
The ads start popping up in local papers in late September. Make your dividend check go further at Petco. Here's one from Alaska Airlines. The PFD checks are in, a perfect time to check out. Car dealers and furniture stores tend to run the biggest promotions. Buddy Bailey is with Bailey's Furniture in Anchorage. He says the store sees a huge jump in sales every October.
A pretty realistic number is probably around the 20% to 25%, and I'll bet you that's pretty uniform across most of the industries in Alaska for retail, for sure.
Bailey says PFD time is better for retailers than the holiday shopping season, but State of Alaska economist Neil Fried says the economic impact of the PFD has become muted over time.
My guess is that we treat it more and more like, you know, regular income. We expect it to come. I don't think we treat it as much as a windfall that we might have in the earlier years.
Fried has collected every permanent fund dividend since it was first handed out 30 years ago. He says he's stingy and most have gone straight to his savings account. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit for Marketplace.
And finally, as we remember Steve Jobs, I am struck by a commencement address that he made to graduates of Stanford University, which is not too far from Apple's Cupertino headquarters. The speech was from the year 2005, a year after being diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart.
Seems Jobs never forgot that until he logged off from this world yesterday. We have a timeline of those products Steve Jobs and Apple has brought us over the years at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
On Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, it's tough times getting by for a lot of riders, but not all of them.
I had several friends, computer science majors in particular, they were getting offered $35 an hour as summer interns before they even have their bachelor's degree.
I'm Tess Vigeland, riding the bus, talking the economy, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.